Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I was still digesting what happened on Tuesday. I'm still sort of, I was telling the Steve and Dennis, I'm still punchy because I haven't really slept much since. It was a lot of drama. You know, not a drama in terms of it being close. It wasn't close. And we're still waiting on the House of Representatives. It looks like it's leaning toward staying Republican. The Senate's definitely going Republican, and the White House is Republican as well. And, you know, one of the voices we've leaned on a lot is Ozzie Palomo from Chartwell Strategy. You know, first of all, Ozzie, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Good to connect.
So, I mean, a lot of, like, the stuff you were hearing sort of came true. I mean, a lot of our communications between each other, you know, because sometimes I have to parse when I talk to people. I have contacts in both Democrat and Republican circles, and I have to sort of be discriminating to see what is sort of talking point-ish and what's real. And everyone is positive until the polls close, so they don't want to discourage anybody. But, you know, a lot of the stuff that came your way early sort of bore out to be true.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, you know, in conversations I had leading up to the election, I said to a lot of folks, I could see him, you know, a good night for Trump is 287, a great night for Trump, he's north of 300. I thought that kind of massive sweep or a Republican kind of wave had about a 30-40% chance of materializing, and it came out to be true. I think at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of kind of information flowing now about, you know, different demographics and how well he did. You know, we were told for a long time that there was going to be this massive woman vote and that was going to put Harris over the line, and that, you know, that young people, you know, didn't like Donald Trump, and all of these things that came through at the end of the day, you know, never materialized for the Democrats.
Yeah, I think looking in the rearview mirror, the woman's right to choose Roe v. Wade sort of peaked in 22, it seems. And it makes some sense, you know. The margin and the number of votes, I just have to ask, because it's so starkly different than 2020, and it's had some people, you know, starting to say that, you know, clearly 2020 was, you know, there was something that wasn't right there. I think that there was more, you know, energy for people to turn out because they felt like they were worried about Trump. But I mean, how do you view this in the lens of 2020? I mean, is that make you change your view of what happened?
Yeah, look, I mean, if you go back at kind of vote totals on the Democratic side, going back to John Kerry in 2004, he got 59 million votes, right? Barack Obama's first go around, which was a historic watershed moment for the country, was 69 million votes. Clinton got 66 million when she ran. You know, this time around, Harris looks like she'll be in and around 66, 67 million, right? And then you look at 2020 and Joe Biden got 81 million. You know, I'm not kind of a tinfoil wearing kind of a political animal. I think there's some factors. I think voting obviously became much, much easier during COVID. And I think Democrats, you know, led by Mark Elias and others, were quick to abuse the COVID situation in a way that kind of, you know, loosened a lot of restrictions and laws and states around voting. But I also think it was, you know, we didn't have a whole lot to do. So I think a lot of people were.
But you believe, you know, you believe the results from 2020.
I do. I do. And I think at the end of the day, look, you know, to go back and, you know, and look back 4 years and be sour grapes, you know, like, you know, I'm not an Atlanta Falcons fan, but I would imagine they believe the results of the Super Bowl as well. So, you know, you move on. You know, was there nefarious activity? I don't think if there was anything illegal about what they did. I think they just kind of took advantage of what was in front of them. And, you know, we were wise enough to kind of catch up in 2024 with the early vote. We put some restrictions back on that I think made voting more secure and fair. And the end result speaks for itself. They're here today.
We're talking with Ozzie Palomo from Chartwell Strategy. You know, there's so many things from, you know, some people think the Democrats were just sort of arrogantly assuming certain demographics would fall in line and that maybe they haven't served those demographics as well as they thought. The get out the vote effort on the Republican side seemed to be better than the door knocking strategy on the Democratic side. And I'm just curious, from where you sit, this is your job and outside of your family, your livelihood. Where did the before we get to the Republicans going right, where did the Democrats go wrong?
I think they went wrong in a couple of different directions. One, I think the process of, well, first of all, the process of keeping Biden as a nominee as long as they did, knowing, you know, full well that the mental acuity and just the age factor was real, was a problem. I think the way that they handled it, it was very messy, and the way that they just kind of plucked her in without much say from their base was a concern. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that even the mainstream media was criticizing Kamala Harris's role as vice president, and almost overnight she became the best thing since Barack Obama. So I think that there's some lack of they weren't genuine with, I think, with how they ran it. But I think they neglected to really see the impact that immigration was having on communities across the board. It became from, you know, immigration or in a very short period of time became a border state issue to every state becoming a border state very quickly. I think they neglected to understand the economy. They kept telling you that you just didn't understand the economy because the U.S. economy was the best in the world. And I equated to people telling you you live in the nicest house in the worst neighborhood, but don't tell me that because my plumbing's not working and everything else is going wrong inside and you can't see it. So I think they were, you know, blinded by that. And then I think they just banked on the fact that, you know, more people hated Donald Trump than liked Donald Trump. And I said to you, you got to give people something to vote for. I don't think she came out with a compelling agenda or message.
Yeah. And what about Republicans? I mean, I've seen so many things and, you know, in terms of what they've been able to do on college campuses and that nobody was talking about before the election. And I mean, and again, you have way more exposure to strategy inside the Republican Party than me. So like what went right?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I think, I think Trump, the Trump Vance ticket, you know, basically every voting demographic that gets dissected shifted in their direction, with the exception of 65-year-olds and older and white college women. He made gains with blacks, Asians, Hispanics, the 18 to 29-year-old demographic, et cetera. A lot of it was just kind of speaking to people and you know, whether you agree with his tactics or his antics, Trump connects with folks, right? He is a cult of personality. He's arguably probably the most famous and recognizable human on the planet. Yeah, they got him out there. Yeah. They got his message out there. I think, you know, one of the things that's been fascinating, a lot of people are talking about it now, was, their approach in doing kind of these podcasts, long form interviews through different media channels, right? It's no longer NBC, CNN, et cetera. You know, they went on the Nelk Boys. They went on, all these other kind of male-driven podcasts because they knew that that was the demographic they were going after. So
yeah.
I mean, there's always things to learn from.
Yeah, I mean, but it seems so obvious. I talked about it on the show that, Harris only went on Fox when she had to. Like, she should have gone on when she wanted to, and it would have been a much more of a confidence play. And if she should have gone on Rogan, she shouldn't have set all these rules. I mean, it just seems so silly that people don't get that. But, you know, I want to ask you one more question before we go, because I forget from cycle to cycle, and I don't know why I forget this, but like, when does like stuff like the cabinet start to take shape?
So I think one of the things that the transition has done this go around is start a little bit early. So, you know, how the transition on the Trump side being led by Linda McMahon and Howard Lutnick. Linda McMahon has been tasked with kind of setting a policy agenda for the first 100 days and beyond. And Howard Lutnick has been focusing on personnel, cabinet level, let's call it the top 40, positions. That's underway. I think they've narrowed down quite a bit. Yeah, typically, an incoming administration appoints an attorney general, secretary of state, and a treasury secretary right away to kind of show confidence to the world markets, and then obviously our
democracy. So before we'll know that before Thanksgiving.
I think you're going to start to see. You're already seeing names, right?
I think
Trump. Trump will ultimately be the decider on who he wants in that cabinet, but I think he's being presented with some good candidates. Starting yesterday. And my understanding is that the nomination confirmation hearings, will start January 3rd as soon as Congress is back. So, this thing is going to move pretty quickly, I think, here over the next couple of weeks. But by Thanksgiving, my guess is you'll at least probably hear about a chief of staff role by Thanksgiving, because that you need that role kind of in place to move it. And hopefully history is not prologue and this chief of staff lasts more than a Scaramucci.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that I'll be watching is, you know, stability in some of the positions that you had way more turnover than a normal administration between 2016 and 2020. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think he probably has a better feel for the loyalists to put in the right spots for him. We got to run. I hope you get some time to take a vacation or something, Ozzie. I'm sure you haven't seen much of your family the last couple of days.
We've got flag football playoffs starting this weekend, so nice. That's what I'll be doing.
Nice. I love flag football. How old is the kid that's playing?
So my daughter's 10. She's wrapping up her travel soccer season, and Connor's 8. He's got the flag football playoffs kicking off Friday night.
Keep it simple. You got to keep it simple with the 8-year-olds. It gets more complex with the play calling once they hit 10. But enjoy,
right.
Ozzie. We appreciate the time, as always.
We'll talk soon. Take care.
All right, Ozzie Palomo from Chartwell Strategy joining us.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.